Well, praise the good Lord on this beautiful April the 12th, Easter Sunday morning. We've only got three here, but three is enough, because the Lord said wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, lo, I'm in the midst, and I want Him in the midst. I don't want to meet for naught. We meet really to worship the Lord in song, in praise, and testimony, and we're going to try our best to do that here today. We're going to lead one song here, the one we've been singing all along, number 31 in the Heavenly Highway Hymn. I love the Heavenly Highway Hymn. My opinion, is not a better songbook anywhere. It was the one I was raised on and still dear to my heart.
Yeah.
I know they come out with a lot of new ones, but it just can't replace this one as far as my heart's concerned. But we're going to be singing number 31. Won't it be wonderful there? When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ending the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? It will be.
You know, Brother Eddie, right now we're just walking and talking by faith. But one day we will be with the Lord and be standing in front of Him. We can walk with Him and talk with Him all we want to.
When the streets turn to gold, brother, we'll know we're home. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
And it will be wonderful there. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get there. I mean, here it don't compare with there. Until we get there, we're never going to understand how wonderful it's going to be. All we know is here. But Jesus spoke about a better place. He said, I've gone the way of a better place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And He said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. He prepared a place for us. Heaven was made for us. And He had to die to give it to us. But I'm glad to have it. I'm glad there's a little bit of heaven in my soul even right now. But one day I'll finally get home. I'll see what no eye's ever seen. I'll hear what no ear's ever heard. And I'll praise God for that opportunity to call heaven my home for eternity. Amen.
Right now, I'm just living and walking by faith, but one day it's going to become a reality, brother.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
We have that promise.
Yes, we do.
From one, the Bible said it's impossible for him to lie. And we've got strong confidence in the one that told us about the place called heaven. Amen. We're going to read one more excerpt out of this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity. And it's found on 123, page 123. And the title over it is, I Die in Peace, I Shall Soon Be with the Angels. And it's Reverend J.M. Morris. He was born in Campbell, Kentucky, Virginia, February the 15th, 1807. And he died when he was nearly 84 years old at Moores Creek, California, February the 4th, 1891. When Morris was 12, his father died, leaving him to be the main support of his mother. He had 30 days schooling, all told, by the aid of shellbark hickory as a substitute when out of candles. He devoted his evenings to study. He went through English, grammar, arithmetic, and part of the way through an advanced algebra without a teacher. When a man, he was rarely surpassed in sound biblical learning and doctrine. In early life, he was deprived of attending church and Sunday school, but he was impressed with the necessity of a change of heart. We give his experience in his own words. When a lone boy, having ever heard anyone pray or preach, while all alone in a cotton field with my hoe in hand, I became powerfully convicted that I was a sinner. I tried to pray as best I could, and the Lord came down in a mighty power and blessed my soul. I did not know what to do or say, but God put it in my mind to praise His name. So there with hole in my hand, both arms outstretched, I shouted, "Glory to God." All looked so beautiful. The sun and sky never looked so bright as when I was alone in that cotton patch with no one near but God. In meetings, he would get shouting, happy, while relating his experience. And the holy fire would spread. Everyone would go home saying, "We had a good meeting. Morris was in the cotton patch today. He crossed the plains in 1857 with ox teams to Trinity County, California, going to a hotel near the mines. He demolished the bar where alcohol was sold and preached for 2 years in that bar room, as it was called, where a class church of about 25 or 30 was formed. Though he preached and labored in California for about 30 years, he crossed the plains 3 times with ox teams and 4 times by rail. On these trips, he preached in Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas, disposing of all of his little earthly effects. In his last sickness, he said, "I shall die in peace with all men. I shall soon be with the angels. All I want to be is a little twinkling star." On calling Mother Morris, he said, "The other day you came to my bed and said, 'I want you to get well and pray as you used to once.' But I have not been able to pray since, and I never shall be any better. But I want you to write to all of the grandchildren and tell them I'd rather leave this request of their grandmother as a legacy to them than all the gold of Oprah. He made us promise him that we would bury him in a plain coffin on the farm where he'd lived for 12 years. No flowers or parade were to be given in his honor. For 30 days we had watched day and night, taking 4 persons each night, but all agreed that they did not know that anyone was capable of suffering so much as he did, but his patience and resignation held fast. He would say, 'I am in the hands of the great God of the universe. He knows best.' Often he would pray, 'Oh, help me to be patient. The will of the Lord be done.' After suffering thus for 30 days from asthma, lung trouble, and something like the gripe, he drew his last breath just as if he were going to sleep in his right mind and without a struggle or a groan." And that was the testimony of Reverend J.M. Morris. One day we'll make our departure. Amen.
Right.
All right, well, we'll be going to Exodus again, chapter 5 today for the message. I'm going to try my best to bring an Easter message out of this. God will help us. I'll be able to. And while you're turning there, let me say I got a phone call again yesterday from Brother Bob Malkin. He's 57 years old, and he lives up in Columbus, Ohio. And boy, he's quite a blessing. And he said they've been listening to the messages up there in Columbus, Ohio. And he said they'd be listening today also. And we thank God for the privilege to be able to be in Columbus, Ohio.
Amen.
And in Glasgow, Kentucky, or Smiths Grove, Kentucky at the same time.
Yeah.
Thank God for technology. It can be used for good, or it can be used for evil. And we want to try to use it for good. Amen. We're just going to read one verse right here. We read a lot of verses last time. We're only going to read one this time. In Exodus chapter 5, we're going to read verse 1. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." I'm preaching today on let my people go. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for every breath, every opportunity you give us, Lord, to give you glory and honor. We pray, Lord God, today you'd put your blessings upon this message, Lord, upon me, that I might be able, Lord, to have the liberty and anointing to preach your words. Lord, upon the hearers, that they may be able, Lord, to receive a blessing and be blessed, Father, by attending this message, Lord. We pray, God, for the lost that might hear this message, God, that they might give their all to Jesus, surrender with a white flag, their will to God's will. Lord, that those that might be fearful of heart, that this message might bring peace and comfort to them. And Lord, to those that are saved, may it fill their cup. May it run over with joy and praise to God. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Your blessed will be done. Amen.
Amen.
The message that Moses and Aaron brought to Pharaoh was a pretty simple message. Let my people go.
Right.
And during a time when Bibles are selling off the shelves, a shortage of Bibles right now, people seeking the Word of God, people seeking God, churches are being prohibited from having services, preachers are being prosecuted for conducting services.
Yeah.
Our own governor, Andy Beshear, has issued an executive order that churches ought to be closed and threatened those that open on Easter with fines and mandatory quarantine and confinement. He was rebuked by the senator of Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul, which said to him that he needed to take a step back in that executive order. And let me say, when Andy gave that order to the churches, he didn't give that same order to the abortion clinics or to the alcohol sellers or to the gambling joints. He don't have no problem at all with them being open. He just got a problem with the churches being open. And I tell you what, that's nothing but the spirit of Antichrist and what that is. Amen. I'll tell you right now, I've never been more proud of my senator, and I've never been more ashamed of my governor.
Right.
And I didn't have a thing to do with Andy getting elected. I still don't understand how he got elected, but I'll tell you right now, I ain't got no dog in that fight. Let the Lord be the one over all of this.
Right.
But I say this about all of that. I watched again the movie The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. And I love that part at the end of that movie when Satan was screaming his head off because unknowingly he had fulfilled the redemption plan of God. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, "For if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory."
Yeah.
And listen, I don't care about the polls.
No, that's right.
I don't care about the Pope. I care more about what saith the Scripture. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, these are strange times. And I tell you, but I've seen a lot of strange things.
Mm.
Making me wonder if we're not in the last days. Making me wonder about all the events of our day. I'll tell you right now, it'd be a good time to get your house in order.
Amen.
Be a good time to set everything where it needs to be.
Right.
Be a good time to get ready to meet the Lord. He may decide to come. And I believe the coming of the Lord see the coming of the Lord in my lifetime. Oh, won't that be a blessing? Amen. And I tell you what, I don't have no problem with my governor. I don't have no problem with my senator. I don't have no problem with my president. But I tell you what, I wish they feared the Lord. I wish they put a proclamation that if we need to do anything, we need to worship God. We need to attend the house of God. We need to attend the Word of God. Amen.
That's right.
Pharaoh was in the way. Word came to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh, like the Pharaohs of our day, they can't ignore the commands of God. This wasn't a suggestion.
No.
They brought the Word of God to Pharaoh. And the Word of God was a command. Let my people go. And the Pharaohs of this world, they think, you know, they're above God. Well, I tell you what, they that resist the powers of God resist it to their own damnation. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 2 says. But I like that command where God commanded all men everywhere to repent in Acts 17, verse 30. Man, I never realized that God commanded men to get saved. I tell you what, men, if they got any sense at all, they will get saved. Amen. I thank God for the day that I got saved. But they think that they're in control of the Pharaohs of our day. They think they have the power over what things are done, and whatever they say, they think they've got power. And the Bible says power belongs to God.
Yeah.
Listen, when those magicians told Pharaoh that this is the finger of God, they were basically telling him, Pharaoh, this is real, buddy. And you know, it didn't have no effect on him. Exodus chapter 8, verse 19, he didn't care. He's Pharaoh. And let me tell you, buddy, God wants His people to be able to go. God wants His people to be able to pray.
Amen.
God wants His people to be able to sing. God wants His people to be able to worship. Jesus said that God's seeketh such to worship Him. And those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
John chapter 4, amen.
Yes.
The world know nothing about God. The Bible said the world by wisdom knew not God.
Right.
But those that do know God know that He desires to be worshipped. He deserves to be worshipped.
Yeah.
And if anybody ought to be worshipped, it ought to be the Lord. Amen.
Hey.
Pharaoh wanted all the worship that he could get. And he's showing himself to be somewhat of a God on the earth. Like all the Pharaohs of our day. Think he had a say in what was told him. He didn't give the order for Israel to go. Matter of fact, verse number 2 tells us, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? I've met a lot of Pharaohs like that.
Yes.
Or let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He lived to regret those words, amen. But Pharaoh scoffed at the commandment from God to let God's people go. When he said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let His people go. But I'll tell you what, after 12 miracles, after 9 judgments, and at 10 judgment, we brought death to Pharaoh's house and caused all of Egypt and him both to go to their knees. I'll tell you what, when it comes to God, all the Pharaohs of this world had better be careful, amen.
Amen.
God wasn't kidding when He said, let my people go.
No.
We've got Pharaohs down here right now that think they've got to say whether I go to church or not.
Yes.
They threaten me with fines. And look, I'm not a lawbreaker. I try to be a law abider. But I'll tell you what, they gave the order that Daniel couldn't pray. And the Bible said when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, he went to his house and opened up the windows and prayed like he did before.
Yeah.
There's a time when the law goes against God. And when the law goes against God, I can't obey it, amen.
No, that's right.
I tell you right now, Peter said, choose you this. No, he didn't say that. He said, we ought to obey God rather than a man, amen.
Yeah.
You get in a strait there. There comes a time when you can't do them both. You're in a strait between obeying God's laws and man's laws, amen.
That's right.
Pharaoh scoffed at the command from God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, buddy. He got a good dose of God's judgment.
Yeah.
God brought 10 judgments upon Egypt. God destroyed Egypt, and it was all said and done. God destroyed Pharaoh. But Pharaoh was no match for God. And when the real God showed up, he had to let God's people go. The Pharaoh of death could not hold Jesus in the grave. Jesus tore the bars away. Jesus took the keys of hell away and death in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. And Jesus set me free from the Pharaoh that was holding me captive.
Yes.
Luke 4 18. He set the captive free. Jesus sets me free from the deadly cause of sin. And praise God, through Jesus I'm free indeed. John 8 36. God had raised up Pharaoh just to show all the Pharaohs down here his great power in Exodus 9 16. In Romans 9 verse 17, Pharaoh didn't know it, but God raised him up just for that purpose, to show him who the real Pharaoh was. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Pharaohs down here going to get an attitude adjustment just like this Pharaoh did.
Yeah.
They're going to understand like Nebuchadnezzar that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. I'll tell you what, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but they're going to have to swallow it because they won't have it no other way.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, when God brings a man into judgment, he sees himself to be just a man, and they need a good dose of that right now, especially in this hour we're living in, where they're putting their foot for such a panic over a little old virus. Well, listen, I can understand the panic to some degree, and I'll get on that here in a minute. Pharaoh, like all the Pharaohs down here, he could not save those that trusted in him.
Uh-uh.
And they all died with him in the Red Sea. By the way, there's over 5,000 blackened by water and age skeletons with weapons and armor laying at the bottom of the Red Sea, along with many metal chariot wheels laying everywhere. A testimony to all the earthly pharaohs of our day that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Daniel 4:32. You know, when you think about pharaohs, you think about all the effort being put forth today, it reminds me of the scripture in the book of Psalms chapter 2. He says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Man thinks somehow that he can rise above God.
Right.
Man thinks somehow he can save the planet. Mm. Man thinks somehow that he can do something for what's such a thing as global warming. Man thinks somehow that he's able to handle the environment that God gave him to live in. I don't know about you, Brother Ed, but I got to have air to breathe.
That's right. Amen.
I got to have something to eat.
Yeah.
I got to have water to drink. I've got to have seasons. There's times I need to be cold, times I need to be hot, there's times I need to be wet, times I need to be dry. God sends the seasons when they're needed. He sends the rain in its season. He allows the dry so the farmer can break the ground. He allows the rain after the seed sown so it can come up and bring forth the crop.
Yeah.
And the man has something to eat. And man don't understand it. He's like a hog that eats acorns that falls from an acorn tree and never looks up to see where they come from.
Right.
Oh my. Man couldn't save this planet. Man couldn't interfere or stop God doing anything. But they say, let us break asunder their cords.
Yeah.
That they want somehow to get out of having anything to do with God.
Mm.
They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, Romans chapter 1 says. They don't want to hear that name Jesus. Oh yeah, you can pray, just don't pray in Jesus' name.
Right.
If you ain't going to pray in Jesus' name, don't waste your time. Because Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. Amen.
Amen.
And oh my, they're the kings of this earth. They set themselves, and the rulers of this earth take counsel together. We got the UN right now. We got this one world order. It's trying to get on its feet. It ain't there yet, but it's not far from it.
Mm-hmm.
And when this one world order gets on its feet, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. Our last president, Henry Kissinger, said this about Barack Hussein Obama. He said, we raised him up to be a global president.
Mm-hmm.
Now let that simmer just a minute. That's anti-American. You see, we're one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Yes.
And Bible talks about our government, says it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Right.
And here, Henry Kissinger says, we raised up President Barack Obama to be a global president. He spent more time in other countries than he did in his own country.
Amen.
And sent the wealth of this country to other countries.
Yes.
And sent the goods and the other things, the things that made this country what it is. He sent it to other countries, sent the secrets and stuff away.
Yes.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's why they're using this little old virus to say, you're not allowed to go to church on Easter Sunday. Man thinks he has a say. Pharaoh thought he had a say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, the graves say another thing. The graves say they wasn't nothing but men in the way of God. And I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for men that get in the way of God. I'll tell you, buddy, God's not mocked. And in His hand is the next breath, the next heartbeat.
Yeah.
In Him we live and move and have our being. And I'll tell you what, these men, the worst kind of trouble you can be in is in trouble with God. Pharaoh was one of those.
Right.
He got in trouble with God. And I'll tell you what, it took him to his grave, a watery grave. But verse 4 puts icing on the cake on these three verses. I'm going to read those three verses and then read verse 4. Why did the heathen rage? I'll tell you why they rage. They're full of the devil. And they got a mind, a carnal mind, an earthly mind. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. God laughs at these kings and these rulers.
Yes.
The Lord shall have them in derision. You know what? They're in for a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
When He shows up, they run. Revelation chapter 6. And I do want to read this. All these big tough guys. All these with the laser sights. All these with the guided missiles. All these with the armor. All these with the means, you know, to take life. All of those. Big guys. God's got a word for them.
Yes, He does.
Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. I'll tell you what, let's read verse 14. I don't want them to get carried away reading more verses than I need to. Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll. Right now, all they can look up and see is clouds, sky, sun, and stars.
That's it.
But when that's rolled away, when the heaven departs as a scroll, when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, you know that bunch that wanted to break the sunder, the cords and the bands? And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, but it's a fool that rises up against God.
Yeah.
It's a fool that thinks he can undermine God, that thinks he's smarter than God, that thinks he can tell God, I'm not letting your people go. I feel sorry for men like Andy Beshear, that thinks he can somehow get in the way of the worship of God and somehow issue a decree or somehow issue an executive order or a ban. Right now you can't even go door to door visitating. I'll tell you right now, buddy, if I meet anybody, I'm going to do some visit. I say, hell, like, give me this. You know, He don't want nobody to be told that Jesus loves them.
No.
He don't want nobody to be told that Jesus died for them, that He made a place called heaven for them. But praise God, it don't change the fact that Jesus did. And He got a ban right now on door-to-door visitation.
Yeah.
He got a ban right now on assembling together in the house of God.
Right.
By the way, the Supreme Court Justice, Kavanaugh, he said that the decree, the executive order, the ban, was unconstitutional.
Yes.
So I don't know what kind of trouble we're going to get in, but if we do get in trouble, I'm going to plead like that bunch of idiots that always says it's unconstitutional to have a cross or to have church or something like that. I'm going to say it's unconstitutional to say that I don't have the freedom to worship my Lord and my God. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me say this. When He shows up, they all run. When He shows up, they're going to realize He's not no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, verse 11.
Amen.
You know, I don't care if they look like Robert Redford. I don't care if they look like a Cary Grant or John Wayne. When He shows up, buddy, they're going to see themselves to be but men.
That's
men
right.
In the hands of an angry God don't do too good. All their money, all their popularity, all their position, all their power will melt like butter.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm ready to meet him, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
He wants to show up today. Praise God, it'd be well, my soul.
Amen.
I'm getting to put a stamp on the letter. Amen. I tell you right now, hallelujah. I'm glad, amen, the blood's been applied. I'm glad, praise God, He abides inside. Amen. But God, He's going to take them, and buddy, they're going to melt like butter in His presence.
Right.
Either here or there, they will bow their knee and confess that He's Lord.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Or Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. I'm glad that the Pharaoh in me stepped down off of my earthly throne. And I bowed down here. And praise God, I won't have to bow up there. I will, but I don't have to. I'm going to bow up there out of want to. But boy, amen, they're going to bow up there because they've got to have to. Amen.
That's right.
The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says there'll be men of corrupt minds, reprobate, who resist the truth, and they'll come forth. Verse 8. Verse 12 says that those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Verse 12. It says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse number 13. It says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to try you, but rather rejoice. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Matthew 22, 32. You know, they got this 6-foot rule down here. That don't work too good when you're homosexual. When you're homosexual, the Bible says that you're going to burn in your lust one to another.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 1, verse number 27, it talks about men with men. It says they burn in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, but they're going to pay a big price. This little old virus. Can you imagine, Brother Ed, that you got a demonic spirit of homosexuality and it's causing you to do the unthinkable.
Yeah.
It's causing you to do things that don't make no sense, even though they've come out of the closet, even though they're trying to strut their stuff. By the way, it's been a while since I've seen a gay pride march. But I'll tell you what, right now, buddy, there's a little bit of fear in their heart. But I'll tell you, I don't know how they're going to keep from falling prey to this coronavirus. Because it said for safety's sake, it said stay 6 feet apart. I said there's more than 6 feet between me and you, Brother Ed.
Oh, yeah.
And more than 6 feet between you and Brother Jason back there.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to abide by what they call the safety rule. But I can't see them abiding by it because they're out of control. Down there I believe it was Genesis chapter 19. Man, there they were beating the door down there at Lot's house trying to get those two angels that came down. I want to abuse them. And I tell you what, those angels had to smite them with blindness and they were out there trying to find them. Even though they're blind, they wouldn't give it up. They're still trying to find them. That spirit of Antichrist, that spirit of Satan, that spirit of sin, it's going to consume these homosexuals.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a lot of leverage. One reason they got a lot of leverage is they got a lot of homosexuals in our government.
Yeah.
We got a lot of homosexuals in our Congress, in our legislators, in our mayors. I don't know the extent of it. I just know God knows the extent of it. Amen.
Mm.
And as they're burning their lust one to another, they're going to fall like flies because of this coronavirus. Makes me think maybe it might have come from God. Just because I'll tell you what of the wickedness. One of the things that brought God down upon Sodom and Gomorrah was the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah reached all the way to heaven.
Right.
And God came down there to take a look at it to see if it was as bad as the cry was, and it was worse.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, buddy, rained down fire and brimstone on them. But Pharaoh, he didn't want to let God's people go. Pharaoh didn't want to let his throne, didn't want to give up his throne. And Pharaoh found an early grave. Pharaoh, I don't know how old he was. I'm going to say he was probably a middle-aged man. I don't know. But I will tell you this. He didn't make no further than the Red Sea. And all of those that followed him, all of those that trusted him, all of those that believed in him to be all they needed to make it through whatever came their way died with him.
Right.
There at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Yes,
boy, we've come down to a sad day. We've come down to a day when people have no regard for God, no regard for the Word of God, and they're passing laws trying to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn,
amen,
trying to touch God's anointed when God said, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm." And they're trying to say, "If you do, we're going to arrest you. If you do, we're going to fine you. If you do, we're going to give you 14 days of a quarantine." All I got to say is this. I ain't got no choice in the matter. For me to live is Christ.
That's right.
For me to die is gain.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, they're not going to keep me from what I know to do. They're not going to tell me to do something that I know better to do.
Right.
And I'm going to use the precaution. I think it'd be right. I don't think it'd be good to set a bad example. But I think we are using caution here. I don't think we're doing anything wrong here, but they may have a different opinion of that, and if they do, all I know to tell them is help yourself, because I have no choice. I love the Lord. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to walk before Him in the beauty of holiness. Whatever He is, that's where I'm going to be. Whatever He says, that's what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you, one day, He's coming to me and I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And this world ain't going to have to worry about Eddie Wade no more. They ain't going to have to worry about Ed Morris no more, Jason no more. Because we're going to be somewhere else.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, buddy. I understand a little bit now why John said, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." As he looked upon all the things.
Yeah.
Now Pharaoh saw all the judgments of God that came down upon Egypt and destroyed Egypt from one end to the other. But John saw all the things that's coming upon the world. And he saw men that wanted to die and couldn't, death flee from them.
Yeah.
And you know, they make these movies out now about zombies and stuff and zombie land. Can you imagine during the time when God pours out His seven vials of judgment? Man taking a gun and shooting himself and it just can't die.
Yeah.
And half their head's missing them. Maybe a hole in their chest and they're still alive. And they want to die. They want to end it. And God said, "You ain't going to end it. You're going to drink of the vials of the wrath of God."
Yeah.
Because they wanted nothing to do with God. All these Pharaohs down here, they think they're above God. They think that they got more power than God. I can just see them. Brother Ed, I can see them pleading for mercy.
Yeah.
I can see them wanting to have prayer meetings. But there ain't going to be no escape. They're going to drink of the wrath of God. Seven vials going to be poured out. It's going to be terrible. I'm glad I'm going to be in a better place. I'm glad, praise God, I'm going to be enjoying better things. But there's a bunch of Pharaohs down here and they're all the same. They don't want God's people to be able to pray. They don't want us to be able to have a cross. They don't want us to be able to mention the name Jesus. They don't want us to be able to read our Bible. I remember one time my wife, by the way, I need to mention this. My wife, she's in the hospital in Bowling Green right now. And I wish y'all pray for her. She's got to have surgery on her back and surgery on her neck.
Yeah.
And I went to see her yesterday and she was in good spirits. And I'm looking forward to seeing her today. She's starting to look like the woman I married. And I praise God for that.
Thank
you. You know, if a fall would help her, I'd say, yeah, bring it on. But it helped her, it helped me too. I think we actually got a better relationship. When I seen her, she said, "I hadn't seen nobody so long. Glad to see you." I thought, well, praise God. Absence does make the heart fonder. And I'm going to snigger some chicken nuggets today. And I brought a few things from the house. I'm going to spoil it. Yeah! Yeah, buddy! But anyway, the reason I said all that right there, pray for my wife that if she does have to have back surgery, that it'll be a success.
Yeah.
That she'll have some degree of quality to proceed from it.
Right.
But But she's down there, and I'm here. I can't be where she is. She can't be where I am. And in this life, we don't know what circumstances may come our way. For all I know, I may be in a car wreck before I get home. But praise God, I know who holds my tomorrow.
Amen.
I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But I lost the thought of where I was going before I mentioned my wife. But all the Pharaohs down here, they think somehow they can interrupt. Oh, that's what it was. Thank you, Lord. I've got my mind back. I took my wife to the doctor about 25 years ago, maybe longer than that. And I knew she was going to be there a while. She was having a minor surgery. I think it was gallbladder. She was going to take out a gallbladder. Stones and just a 1-inch incision. She went home with me that day. It wasn't no big deal. But I took my Bible with me that day, Brother Ed. And out there they had a huge waiting room. Real big. Bigger than this church. Huge waiting room. And I didn't even sit next to nobody. I went over and got a chair all by myself. And I sat down there and I opened up my Bible there. And I was sitting there just quietly reading. I wasn't reading out loud. Wasn't saying nothing. Wasn't looking at nobody. And I'm sitting there quietly reading my Bible right there in that waiting room. And I hear people clearing their throats and grunting. Finally, somebody said, "Well, I'm there." And somebody said, "Are we going to have church or what?" At the whole time, I was minding my business, reading my Bible. And they all got up and they all left. And I had that huge waiting room all to myself. They were offended by somebody reading the Bible.
That's right.
They were offended by somebody that loved the Lord. They wanted to have a world without God. To have all of the blessings of God, but never thank God for it. And here I was, a thankful, saved sinner.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do, Brother Ed, was just read a little bit of the Word of God.
That's right.
I didn't have any malice. I wasn't strutting my stuff in there. Very quietly, I sit down and I'm just reading my Bible. And I had no idea that I was going to offend them. And I had no idea they was going to give me the whole waiting room to myself. Jesus said, "Blessed is he that's not offended in me."
Amen.
But he said, offenses would come. And evidently, I offended them. Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't got no regrets about it. Given an opportunity, I'd do the same thing again.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, buddy, that's what we need to do more of. The Bible tells us to live righteous, godly, and sober in this present world, which is our reasonable service.
Yes.
And walk before God in the beauty of holiness. You know, not strut, but just let the world know that they might take note. We've been with Jesus.
Amen.
We behind a testimony. Yes. Like a Enoch. That we please God.
Yeah.
I hate for God to do my funeral, make up a bunch of junk, say, "Hey, was a good man, what I wasn't." I'd like, praise God, to have a funeral, have a bunch of people there, say, "I'll tell you what, that man loved the Lord."
Yeah.
That man loved the Lord, lived for God all the days of his life.
Right.
We're going to leave behind some kind of testimony.
That's exactly right.
These Pharaohs today, boy, I feel sorry for them, Brother Ed.
Mm.
They're going to meet God on bad terms. And this Pharaoh here met God on bad terms.
Yes, he did.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. We thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us to gather in your house. Lord, I'm so glad you got up. I'm glad that you showed the Pharaoh of death that he couldn't hold you. He'd held a lot of people, but he couldn't hold you. I'm glad the stone was rolled away, that the world could look in and see that empty tomb, to see that you had got up victorious over death and the grave. And Lord, not only that, but you got me, Lord, also, Father, out of sin. Set me free from the cause of sin. Set me free from the Pharaoh that was holding me hostage, holding me captive. You gave your life a ransom for all to be free that wanted to be free. Bless this message, Father, I pray. Send it where it's needed. And Lord, I pray, heaven, I pray to be a help to people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Goodness.